Hey everyone, this is John from the Catalyst Tech team. I just wanted to let you know that the recording you're about to hear was from July 22nd, 2017, and this is after a little over a year of searching. Our church pastoral search committee has finally brought forward a candidate for the congregation to decide upon to be our new lead pastor. We have proposed Dr. Roland Daniels and his wife Ellen, and what follows is the initial meet and greet with the congregation. The initial audio was a little corrupted, so the introduction is not going to show up in the recording. So it's going to pick up right with him saying thank you to everyone for coming in, and we hope you enjoy what you're about to hear.
Hey, listen, this is delightful for us to be here. We're just humbled. It's such an exciting journey for us. It's been incredible. I've just finished working. I finished next week. I work for a Christian organization called Christian Union, and we have ministries on all the Ivy League schools and Stanford. And so about 6 months ago, they asked if I would come on board and head up all their campus ministry. So every week, I've been flying back and forth to the Northeast and flying to different campuses and doing that work. And you know what? They do amazing stuff, y'all. I mean, these are the bastions of humanism, trust me. And they have hundreds of those students in really intense Bible studies every week. It's just, it's incredible. And I get to work with some incredible folks that are the directors and fellows on those campuses. So we've been doing that. Tell you a little bit about our background. I come from Mississippi. If you can't tell yet, you will. I have a little bit of a twang.
He's lost a lot of it.
Yeah, Ellen used to have an interpreter just to understand. This is the truth. When I would call home and Ellen would talk to my sister, she would have to ask me, what did she just say?
It is true.
Because the twang was so strong. I was born and raised there on a farm in a little place called Collinsville, Mississippi. Best place in the world. Mm-hmm. For this reason, it was truly, when I grew up, it was like Mayberry. And I kid you not, Ellen will vouch for that now.
Beautiful.
It's just amazing. We just lost both my mom and dad in the last 2 years, so... Now we have the farm, and it's just so different going back now without them there. But it's still, it will always be home. My family owned a roofing construction company, and my dad and my uncle were phenomenal businessmen and men who loved the Lord, and they gave generously to the Lord, and boy, the Lord blessed them. It's incredible. And from that, when I finished at Anderson University, I finished in business and management. Never dreamed I'd be in the pastorate. I mean, honestly, never thought about it. And I was kind of asked as the grandson to come back and take this company over. And went back, and every day almost, from the moment that I went home, the Lord was wrestling with me about ministry. And I didn't know what, but I knew the Lord had something else in my life. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that call, if you don't mind. I began to pray, and this was over 3.5 years, almost 4 years. And finally one day I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to kind of throw a fleece out here, and I'm going to ask that this week, if you have your intent for me to be in the ministry, then you'll give me an absolute sign that this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I was dating a young lady. Then I was telling the team last night, just really a dear friend. We'd go out once every 2 or 3 weeks. And so I pull up to her house, and I pick her up, and I walk, you know, open the door. She gets in the car, and we crank up the car, and I'm backing up. And she turned to me, and she goes, Roland Daniels, I think you need to be a pastor. And I just stopped the car, and I thought, what? She said, I really mean that. She goes, I think the Lord's calling you into the ministry. And so later that night, about 1:30 or 2 in the morning, I knelt beside my bed, and I told the Lord, hey, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do whatever you call me to do. And the next day was Sunday morning, so that morning at church, I just felt the need to go to the altar and just say, hey, Lord, this is my life. I'm giving it to you. I want you to know I'm going to follow through on this. And I was telling them, my mom and dad never came to pray with us at the altar. My mom always told us, you're probably there to pray about us. And so they never did. That was like a private thing. But that day, my mom came up to pray with me. And I said, Mom, I got to tell you something. She said, you don't have to say a word. The Lord's called you into the ministry. And I said, what? And she said, yeah. She said, now you got to do the hardest thing. You got to go tell your dad you're leaving the roofing company. Because that was my dad's dream. was for me to come back and take over this company that my grandfather started, my uncle and my dad ran, and then, you know, this was his dream for me. And so I went home from church. My dad was in the back getting his pre-nap clothes on, because he always napped on Sunday afternoon. And I said, "Dad, I have to tell you something. The Lord's calling me into the ministry. And I'm going to be leaving the roofing company." My dad never said a word. He turned around and he walked out of the room and he didn't speak to me for the rest of the day. And I was working out of town subbing a job for them several hours away. And on Tuesday morning, my dad's head pops up on that roof. And my dad said, "Hey, will you go help me measure a roof?" And that was my dad's way of saying, "Do you want to go talk?" And so we get in the car and we start down the road. And I told him, "I've only seen my dad cry twice. And this was one of those days." And he turned to me and he said, I want to tell you a story, Roland." He said, 2.5 years ago, your mother and I were awakened the same night by the same dream. And in that dream, the Lord told us, you're going to be a pastor. He said, "But I never knew how hard it was going to be to give you up." And he started, I mean, really, my dad just started crying. And he said, "But I have to tell you this. I've never been more proud of you than I am this day. And I absolutely am blessed to give you up." And you know what? That day, this is the truth, I asked the Lord, I said, "God, I only ask one thing from you. If you will let my dad live long enough that he can see the fruit of my ministry." And you know, my dad lived till 87. And I don't know how many times he would hold me. And my dad was an affectionate man till he met Jesus at 40. Very distant till he met Jesus. And at 40, my dad changed. And then we couldn't get away from him. He kissed us all the time. You know, I mean, it was just, "Dad, what'd Jesus do with you? We don't know." And he would always hug me and he'd say, "You know today how proud I am of you, right?" I said, "Yes, sir, I know." And so now, friends, it's been 35 years. I've been in the ministry now. We have been in the ministry now. We're a team. And we've been in the ministry for 35 years. This December the 17th, we will have been married 34 years. Some of you will remember, some of you, maybe not many, there was a church here named North Anderson Church of God. And that's where we started our ministry as the youth pastor there 35 years ago. And Ellen and I dated for those 9 months that I started there, and then we got married in December. So this year we celebrate 35 years. And I'll let Ellen tell you a little bit about her background and how we came together.
That might take a while.
Y'all aren't that bored, right? You don't want to hear from us.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be quick.
The cool part about what he told, his parents are as neat as he says they are. Mm. And I'm so blessed. You hear these horrible stories of in-laws and mother-in-laws. They're the neatest people, and they help shape who I am, not just who he was. So I was very, very blessed to have them in our lives. My story is weird and unusual, just as his, in that I had a full ride to DePaul University. It was all set. I was going there. My family, we grew up in the Methodist church. They all went there. My grandparents went there. My dad went there. My sister went there. Of course I'm going to go to DePaul. And a month before school started, I went to visit Anderson University. It was Anderson College back then, and just happened to fall in love with this campus, not knowing that God needed me to meet this man. Truly, how would I have met him otherwise? A month later, I ended up starting school at Anderson University, which is a shock because I'm one of 8 children. I'm the 4th natural born, and then mom and dad took a lot of foster children,
No. She's got to tell you the story. Okay. Her parents took over 550 foster kids. She had an amazing family. When you went to Ellen's house, you didn't know who was going to be there. And there'd be a bunch of them every time, man. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I'll get on my mom's Facebook account. She's 82, and she's on Facebook. And she has all these people that are calling her mom, and I'm thinking, who is that? Oh, that was so.
You stayed with us for a while. Yeah, right. Crazy.
Yeah, so it was a blessed upbringing, but again, just the fact that I got to Anderson University and that I got to meet this guy, we are incredibly blessed to have lived and married and be able to have this ministry. We love doing ministry. It's been a real joy. It's not always easy. not always easy, but it's fun to do it together. Mm-hmm. So we are a team.
Tell them about our boys, too.
I was going to say, my part of the team is that I love being a mom. My kids are not your ages anymore. They're grown men. They are big old grown men.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that happened.
We have no idea.
Two boys. One of the boys is married and has a little baby who's 2.5. Sweet as can be, love her to death. I do have pictures on my phone.
Oh, my word.
Thought about bringing it up front. And then they actually are due for a second baby in January, and it'll be a little boy. Yes. So boy and girl, they're all set. Our other son, our older son, actually is not married. He lives down in New Orleans. He lived in Mississippi for a while, and that's a whole God story in itself. Tyler was born with spina bifida. They told us he'll never walk and told us a lot of other horrible things that we didn't know if they would come true or not. But God is so cool because he not only made Tyler walk, he's a golf pro.
So, it's crazy.
Yeah, God's a pretty awesome God, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that is really my ministry. I always, when I talk or teach with young moms, I tell them your mission field is right there in your home. You may work outside the home, but those kids, no one else can be their mom. And I loved that role. I felt so blessed to be a mom, and now I get to be a Nana, my favorite title ever. It's so much fun. So you'll definitely get to meet Raylan one day, I hope, but they are the joy of our lives. Raylan May is 2.5, and she thinks she's, what, 12?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, but they are a joy. Seth Jordan, the one who's married, he is a baseball analytics person. It's a long story, lots of technical stuff about it, but
crazy.
He works for a company called Rapsodo. Again, another neat God story, how he even got that job. But it combines his two loves. It's marketing and baseball. And they do, you know, the really expensive machines that the pro teams have that tell trajectory of the ball and the spin and the rotation and everything you'd ever want to know about a pitch. Their company created a system that does it for about a third of the cost of what those major leaguers pay. So it's just a really neat job for him. He loves what he does. And then I mentioned our older son's a golf pro, so... Just a really neat family. We're very blessed. We love being with our kids.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about our ministry. We got started at North Anderson, where the youth pastor's there. Then we went to Oklahoma to be a senior pastor. We were there for several years. And then we went to a place called Pinway Church of God in Lansing, Michigan. And we were there for almost 5 years. And the Lord just blessed us ridiculously. And then the national church called us. Which is a whole other story of calling, but asked us to launch a new national program for them called Vision to Grow. And it was in church growth and leadership development. And it was one of the greatest experiences of our lives, only because we got to see the church at its breadth. I mean, it was so much because the difficulty of it was I was on the road 2 weeks out every month, you know, because the only way you speak to the church, you have to be in the church. And so I was on the road quite a bit then.
A lot.
I mean, a lot. And it's so cool because our boys missed the pastorate. You know, some pastors' kids don't. Ours loved it. And we're thankful for that mm-hmm. because they love the Lord now. You know, what Ty just called a moment ago. I said, "Where are you doing?" He said, "I'm headed to church, Dad. I'll talk to you later." I said, all right. It's always good when a preacher's son says, "I'll talk to you later. I'm going to church." Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, just been a fascinating thing for us and a blessing for us. But when we worked for the National Church, we had this unique experience of falling in love with the church mm-hmm. for this reason. The church is an amazing thing, y'all. Because, I mean, look around and look at how diverse the church is. It's crazy. But when you put that on a national and an international level, it is amazing how the blood of Christ holds us together and how strong that bond is. And we had the absolute privilege of working and working with the church and pastors across the world. And God blessed it. In about 4 years, it was crazy. We won, I think it was about 32,000 new believers to Christ. It was just phenomenal what God did. And I promise you that it was just the Lord doing that. But, you know, at some point, we were there 4 years, and we just knew that we didn't want Ellen to raise our kids alone. And so we were fortunate enough that Salem, Church of God over in Ohio, called us, and we went over there as senior pastor.
We went that way.
Of one way or the other? Okay, sorry. I thought I said, did I do that or
just
I did?
Just kidding.
Okay. Whoop. Sorry. So we went over there. We pastored there for almost 12 years. We lived there almost 13 years. Honestly, it was phenomenal experience. You know, it's wonderful when a pastor's kid gets to go through the same school mm-hmm. system their entire lives. Mm-hmm. And our boys got to do that, which we were so thankful for. And then we resigned there, came back over here, so to be honest with you, so I could finish my doctorate at Ball State. And while we were doing that, I worked at, Joel and Rachel will know, I worked for Northeast Community Church, which is where I met Joel and Rach and the kids. And just was this incredible experience for Ellen and I, because we had never worked at a church plant. And I'm telling you, it just opened our eyes to a whole other world, and we just fell in love with this place and the people. We were in a small group together, and that's how, you know, far back we go with that. But it was just incredible experience for us. At the same time, I'm a doctorate assistant at Ball State, so it was a perfect balance. And then when I got out from there, Madison Park called us and said, we'd like to know if you'd become our executive pastor. Now, to be honest with you, I told them no because of two things. One, that's really not my gift mix. The second thing is, boy, Jim and I have been friends for years. And I tell them, man, I don't want anything to damage that relationship. But you know what? The Lord spoke to us, and we went there. And 2 years into that was when we found out Jim was going to be resigning from Madison Park and going to be the general director of the Church of God. And then we understood then why the Lord had brought us to Madison Park. It was to help them through this transition. Because, you know, right after Jim left, man, the church went into debt restructuring and foreclosure. And you know what? The Lord just saw that church through it. And those people are so faithful, so good. And the reason the Lord needed us there was because we had built so many relationships in that church. You know, our son was born there with spina bifida. That church loved us, cared for us, nurtured us. And Madison Park trusted us. And we were so grateful that the Lord allowed us to just be there in that season mm-hmm. and to see the faithfulness of God's people. Because, see, the church depends on your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want you to know that. The church depends on your faithfulness as His people, to be there, to support it, to work, to serve, all those things. And, man, that's what Madison Park did. When they could have walked away, and they didn't. And so when they asked us to be interim, we said, you know, there's just only two stipulations. One is this: we will not be the senior pastor here. Because I didn't feel like I could have great integrity and do that. Because then I always felt like I was lobbying for a job or something. The second reason was I never felt called to be there. And they asked us a couple of three times, you know, would you come on here? And we just said, no, you know what? This is not where the Lord's called us. The second stipulation was this: when you do get a new senior pastor, we're going to just graciously leave because this person needs a clean slate here and needs to be able to do that. And man, the Lord blessed. Two of our best friends in the world are there now, Paul and Marianne Strozier. We just love them to death. I just had lunch with Paul this past week. We are tight-knit friends, mm-hmm. and I look forward to sharing ministry. And to be honest with you, this is the truth. Before I would agree to candidating, and the search team knows this, I said, I have to meet with Paul. And if Paul doesn't bless this, I won't do this. And so I met with him, and if any of you know Paul Strozier, he blessed it, and he blessed it, and he blessed it, because he's about the kingdom just like I am. But I appreciate that, and I think he appreciated me coming to him, because I honor him that much. And he is a good, good, good man. So I'm very thankful for that. And then when we finished there, we went to work for Christian Union, the organization I told you about. Phenomenal experience. But you know what? The Lord just showed us, because we were about to have to move to New Jersey. Now, you can imagine a southern boy in Indiana, but imagine a southern boy in New Jersey. It was like, I mean, it was like,
different.
Yeah, it was just a different world. Mm-hmm. And the Lord showed us that really wasn't the right place for us. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful. They've been awesome to us. They love us. And this crazy thing happened. I hear about Catalyst. Crazy. And something in our heart jumped. And this was before we talked to anybody. And there was a friend who said, I really think you should talk to them. I said, you think they'd even be interested in us? And he said, I think they might. And so I called Joe. And Joe and I meet at Starbucks, and we just had a conversation, and my heart jumped more. I'm just being honest with you. And I went home and told Ellen. I said, you know, this is what we found out. This is what we know. And so we had several conversations, and then we got to meet with your search team. And I'm going to say something to you. No matter what happens, no matter if you vote us up or down, I'm going to share something with you. Your search team has been the most professional team I've ever talked to in my life. They are amazing. They were always so ready with questions. They kept confidentiality like it was the White House. Yeah. It was amazing to me.
I think it's better than
maybe better. Yeah. I don't think they tweet quite as much as the White House does. So just crazy, you know. I just want you to know you need to be proud.
Yeah, you really do.
Because these people represented you unbelievably well. And the guy that you've had here over the last year named Carl Addison, please hear me say this, he's the best at what he does. Mm-hmm. And Carl and I have been, his nickname's Lily.
Don't you dare
it's
tell
Lily,
that.
Okay? He calls me Lily, I call him Lily. This is the truth. We have been friends. We came as freshmen to AU. Think how many years that was ago. And we
how
have,
many, honey?
No, and we have been... I'm not talking dear friends, I'm talking brothers. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. He knows how much I love him, how much I trust him. And I'm going to tell you what, Catalyst, you have been blessed to have him. Mm-hmm. Blessed. He's one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I would trust him with my life. That's how close we are. And I can't say enough good about him. And I told the search team this, I've told the elders this, and your elders have been wonderful to us. So coming through this whole thing, I thank the Lord for putting Carl Addison in your lives because he's helped this church, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Tell me he hasn't. He has. He's just so good at what he does. And I really joked to him, but I wasn't joking. I said, Carl, the only way I'll even think about this is if you promise you'll continue and stay here because I just think you and Valerie are critical of this place. So then we met with the search team, and in the meantime, in full disclosure, we've been talked to by another church, we've been talked to by a university, we've been talked to about some other level positions, but you know what? We kept feeling drawn to this church so much that we finally just said, we're just going to call the others and say, we just want you to know, we appreciate it, you've been gracious to us, you've done all these things, but we don't feel drawn to you. But we do feel drawn to this church. And we didn't say your name because it was confidential from us too. And so you know what? That's why we're standing before you tonight. I mean, we are. We stand here humbly but excited. I mean, some people ask us, am I going too long or are we okay? Okay. I usually talk about five times longer on Sunday. Just kidding. Y'all won't even come back in the morning. Well, don't you go sit down? Usually she just does this. Okay. Go ahead. You want to say something, I can tell.
No. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I insist.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead. What?
No, I really wasn't. We really did. We both always pray about decisions. When our boys were still in the home, we would always pray as a family and, you know, come to that decision that we felt God was telling us. Both he and I have had peace that we're supposed to be here. So we're excited for this weekend. We've had a blast. We've had two wonderful dinners with great conversations. So no matter what happens tomorrow or the vote, we feel blessed because it's been a joy to get to know people better.
Yeah.
It's been interesting how God brings things around. We used to live in a neighborhood that has five or six of your folks in it, and we just moved from that neighborhood a year ago. But we have been to dinners in that neighborhood in the last weekend, and it's just been so fun to reconnect and to reconnect with other good friends that lived right down the road from us.
Yeah, which we're thrilled.
Yeah,
thrilled. And so people have asked us, what draws you then to Catalyst? And a couple of three things. You know, one is just the Lord, I think, tendering our hearts here. Second, though, I don't know if you know how much potential you have for the kingdom. Man, it's crazy. I mean, if if all of us got serious about it, mm-hmm. I mean this, if we got serious about our neighbors and the people we work with, and we made a commitment to ourselves and to the Lord, that we're going to start reaching the people that we know and are around for Christ, you'll change this community.
Mm-hmm.
You will help change this community. And that excites us beyond words. Because I want to tell you, we are kingdom people, man. It's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been blessed in our ministry. It's crazy. If you had ever told me this country boy from Mississippi would have been blessed in the ministry the way that the Lord has, I would have laughed at you. But you know what? Man, the Lord's got some things up for this congregation. And if the Lord allows all of us to be a part of that, that's going to be a great journey together. So that's why we're here, folks. Just point blank honest. And I think, Joe, y'all have some questions, right? Oh, boy, this will be fun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Save that one for last.
Yeah. Well, it couldn't be any better than some of the questions we were asked last night, which was great. Yeah, which was, one
Thank
of them
you,
was.
Diana.
Yeah, yeah, where's Diana? There's Diana. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she said, I just tried to answer that question because Diana phrased it another way. She said, you know, she was so gracious and so kind. She just asked, what drew you to Catalyst? That was kind.
But then she kept going. A little bit of explanation.
Yeah, I'll let her tell that.
It's
and then, of course,
story.
Jeremy and Mike asked, they go, do you dye your hair? And I thought, what? Do I dye my hair? No, I'm 61 years old, and this is just what hair I have left. That's the color it is. That's just the way it is, yeah. So they have very in-depth questions. Yeah, and we had fun, man. We laughed and we hurt and we cried a little bit, but it was good stuff, and we're thankful for that. Joe, go ahead. You got questions, man.
Tell us a little about your style of leadership.
Good.
Oh, wow. Man, I'm a servant leader. It's the only thing I know how to be. I'm totally committed to it. I am a team person. I love working with teams. I don't think there's anything much better than fulfilling what you believe is a calling or a dream or a mission with a group of people where everybody's on board and everybody's working together.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of does their thing because God's uniquely wired us and made us. I'm an encourager by nature. I'm a person who delegates, but I delegate with direction. I believe in accountability, but I'm not a micromanager at all. See, I believe that if you're brought on to do something, God's evidently called or gifted you to do it. I just have an expectation we're all going to work hard. You know, when born and raised on a farm, man, you just work hard. That's what you know how to do. And so for us, you know, there's a huge belief in me that when people come to work and work hard, good things happen. And so I love doing that. I love sharing the ministry with people. I hope I empower people. I hope I encourage people, but I hope also I give good accountability in that way. And what else would you say about my leadership?
I was going to speak up and say he doesn't say I or me. He always says we and us. So when he says us, I don't go to work with him every day, so don't think that. He's talking about a collective us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my life principles. Don't say I and me when you can say we and us.
We're a team. We do it together.
I don't believe in the individual stuff, and that doesn't impress me at all. And I hope that rubs off on people because I'm just not that impressed with that. But I like when we come together and work hard and watch God do great things. And we've been in this long enough.
He said I.
I did, and I caught myself.
It.
Yeah. We've been in this long enough to know we've got about that much to do with it. And it's the Lord, and we're thankful for that. We really are. Does that answer it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a great lead into either or both of you. Ellen, what role do you see yourself playing?
Cool.
Excellent question. I, you know, it's kind of cool. When Roland asked me to marry him years and years ago, I started crying because I didn't think I could be a good pastor's wife. I don't sing. I do, but you don't want to hear me. He's telling the truth.
I love you, sweetie. That's not your strongest gift. We know.
He always speaks truth. No. I don't sing. I don't play the piano. And that was my understanding of what a pastor's wife was. And I really didn't feel like I could be a good enough pastor's wife for him. And I'll never forget him grabbing me by the shoulders and saying, I don't want you to be a typical pastor's wife. I want you to be you. I thought, cool, I can do that.
And
God,
you do
has,
it great.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. God has shown me over the years that those gifts some people have, I don't, but I have other gifts that I can use. I absolutely love having people in our home. Mm-hmm. I believe you get to know me better when you see me in our home. Seeing me up here is one thing, but when you see me in my home, you see the real me. You see the dust on the table, just like y'all have. My house won't be perfect when you come over, so don't expect it. But you get to see us as a couple and how we do life together. So that's one of my passions, is hospitality. I also love to do discipleship. And when I say do discipleship, because when you disciple people, you better be willing to do life with them. You don't just go through a little program and walk off and feel like you're done. You do life together. And you learn why these disciplines that Christ tells us in the Bible that we're supposed to be following, why are they important? Why do they make my life different? Because I went to church all my life, and when I got to college and met this guy, and he introduced me to the disciplines of being a Christian, I, for the first time ever, understood I had asked Christ to be my Savior. I had never asked him to be my Lord. And there's a difference, and I didn't even know it. So I want you to know that, and some of you I'm sure do, many of you do, but it's fun to walk the journey together. So that's what I would see my role as. And the biggest, most important role would be supporting this guy. Hmm. That's my number one job now. My boys are on their own. They support themselves, but he and I are a team, and prayerfully supporting him and in other ways, that'll be my big job.
Just me. You want Ellen praying for you. I mean, she bends the throne of heaven, man. I mean, I'll pray for you, and you'll do fairly well. But, I mean, when Ellen prays, man, I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus goes, whoa, this is all right. So just know that. Yeah, you want her praying for you. She's, Ellen's a prayer warrior, which is really cool. Really, really cool. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. So we've got a few kids that hang around this place.
Yeah, I know. We see it.
And talk to us about how you get to know kids.
Cool.
In church, in what role.
Good question.
You know, we try to really invest in kids. I mean, I will, and Ellen will tell you this, after the service, man, I like to be around where the kids are sometimes because I want to know your kids by name. And that matters. That just matters to me. I think Amanda would say that. I mean, Logan and Olivia, for us, that was one of the highlights of our lives living over there at Hickory Hills, was getting to know them and other kids. And so for us, that matters. I love kids. I was telling Chad last night, I coached our boys for 13 years. By the way, I'm a sports nut. Sorry. I mean, that's just, if it's got a ball, I like to watch it. I mean, I enjoy that. But for us, it's important for us to connect with you. And, you know, even that's going to be important for us to be at the kids' games, just so we can meet families, and you can introduce us. And it gives us an opportunity so people can see that we're just normal folks. And maybe we're okay. I mean, maybe they're decent people, you know? Because I promise you, in fact, when I preach tomorrow, you're going to hear some startling statistics about our country today and how people perceive you and me. And it's amazing. And so, you know, it's so good to get outside of these walls and let people know who you are as a person in Christ. And so for me, we want to invest in that. We want to be there. We want to do that. You know, one of the things that we'll do is we'll be very intentional about that and where we'll be and who we'll meet and who we'll hang around. So for us, that's going to be important, that we don't only know you, but we know your kids too.
You know,
and
what? That's
important.
One thing.
Go
if
ahead,
you don't
sweetie.
Mind, one thing we were really drawn to, we came to visit you about a month or two ago incognito. We just kind of slipped in the back door, and it was so cool to sit in the back and see all the kids, just like tonight. And you guys are not just here, you're listening. That's impressive. That means your parents are engaged, they care about you, and you can tell, and that makes a big difference. So we can't wait to get to know you better.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's
for
exciting.
Us. That's just fun for us. We enjoy that. Yeah.
Tell us about your vision for Catalyst involvement in world mission.
Man, so much. You know, I think the church has to be missional, abroad and local. I think it's just so important that a congregation like Catalyst really finds a place where they can plug in and make a consistent difference. And what I mean by that is where you can send people on a regular basis so people can be connected, so people can build relationships, because this is what, that's what it's all about. It's about the relationships. When we were at Madison Park, we were in the DR, and so that was a place that we went on a regular basis and connecting with people and building relationships. We had, man, we had people that had been there 15, 16, 17 years in a row. So I think it's that consistency where you can find where you can make the greatest difference and have a consistent presence there, because I'm really big on persistent presence, because I think that's how you make a persistent difference. And so I think it has to be there, but also I want to share this. It has to be here too. For too long, the church said, well, we'll go over here, we'll go over there. But they didn't realize God put you in this community for a reason. You're here for a reason. And that is so that you can have a persistent presence for Christ. I'll talk about this in the morning, sorry. You can hear more about it then. But it's critical that as a church is missional, they do both. And they do both well. So that's just really important for us. There's a balance there that has to be had. Yeah.
Tell us a little about you, how you relax, how you recharge.
Oh, man. You know what? Ellen and I walk and ride bikes. We walk two or three times a week. We ride bikes two or three times a week. And it's not like we go 20 miles. We go 8 to 10 miles. I swim a lot. It's so crazy. I used to run all the time. When I turned 50, Ellen and I ran a marathon together. But two back surgeries later, I don't run as much as I used to. So I have to swim and bike and walk and do some other things. And we hike. We hike 3 to 4 times a year. We'll go somewhere to hike. And that renews us. Walking on the beach renews us.
We love to read.
We love to read. Mm-hmm. Both of us do. That renews us. Here's the crazy thing. I'm a people person to a point. Like, I'm an extrovert introvert. Isn't that crazy? But the only way I can renew this, please hear this the right way, I have to get away from you. Yeah, I mean that. I love you to death, but I finally have to say, for Roland to recharge, he has to go be alone for a little bit. And when I say alone, I don't mean without Ellen. Yeah,
he locks me in the closet.
No.
Just kidding.
Listen, anytime I'm with Ellen, I recharge. It's the truth. Ellen gives me life. And so, but we take a date every week still. We have our entire marriage. That renews us. I love to go to movies. Movies renew me because I don't have to think. I can just listen.
We love to be with our family.
Yeah.
Spend time with our
grandchild. Anytime we can hang with the kids or with our grandchild, that is life for us. So those are the things, Joe, that renew us. Ellen is so gregarious, it's crazy. In fact, I was talking to Lisa in the back, and I said, look at Ellen. She loves this. Ellen would stay here all night and talk to you. I mean, she's one of these people that just socially, she can do that. I'll get tired and go stand by the door. And or I'll say, you know, like this. But that's why we're good for each other. She pushes me out sometimes, and I help
rein her in.
I help her come back sometimes, because if she doesn't watch it, she'll be worn out. So that's how we renew. And most of the time, that's together. And please hear me. Ellen and I, we understand we have a unique relationship that we don't wear on each other. And sometimes in marriages, you see that. Like, some people can't work together. You just can't. And that's nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong. It's just the way you're wired. We happen to be wired that we just can do that. And it's a great mix. So for us, that's how that gives us life. That's how we renew. Yeah.
Have a two-parter. Your short, long-term vision.
Yeah.
Catalyst, and how long you think you could be here.
Yeah, I told, I'm 61. I told, when Nate and Joe and I met and talked, I said, this is what you have to understand. You have to have a long-term, short-term vision with us. And they said, they looked at me strange, and I said, long-term is this. I really believe the Lord is bringing us the Catalyst, because one of my strongest gifts is strategic planning. And Catalyst, you have to start planning for your future. And I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about for 15, 20, and 30 years down the road. And you need to start asking the Lord, what do we need to do over the next 5 to 7 to 10 years to give our children a future here? Because see, now what's about to happen, this is not about you, this is about your kids. And I want you to hear me. You've got to start asking the question, what do we have to do that's bigger than us that God needs us to do to give catalyst to home. And I'm talking about a home. So that you can have the ministry that I really believe you believe and I believe that God needs you to do in this community. And so that means, you know, there's going to have to be some strategic steps taken about how that needs to happen. That's not going to be overnight. It's going to be through time where we talk and we pray and we fast and we come together. And, you know, the leadership of this place is going to really pour themselves out before the Lord and try to seek something. And then the congregation says, yeah, we get this. We understand this. So there's a long-term vision that has to be at this place. And you have to start thinking that way. And then there's a short term, because I probably won't be that person who's going to leave you 15, 20 years down. You know, but my job is going to be to help put all that in place, to love you. I hope that we're going to see disciples come to this place. We're going to see new believers. We're going to disciple people in the faith to give a real foundation for this church, a strong spiritual foundation, and that we will at some point be able to say, hey, you know what? There needs to be somebody else that's going to take this place to another level. And when Rollins' job is this then, to help that person come on as you define who that is, and we begin to create a plan where that next leader is going to soar here. Not just serve here, but soar here. And for us to be able to do that, I hope, with great grace and great integrity and great wisdom. And I think that's what I mean when I talk about long-term, short-term. Does that make sense? It makes perfect sense to me about what our ministry will be about here. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
That's the end of our questions. Is there anything you didn't work into a question that you'd like to say?
No, not at all. Don't just... Anything.
It must be close to 9 o'clock.
It's close. Yeah, I start shutting down the hatch. Yeah, at that point. So it's so funny. This is the truth. I have a really, when I preach on Sunday, my body about 3 o'clock starts going to another place, because I get up really early on Sunday mornings and pray, and my body just goes, my mind even, in fact, goes to another place, and I treasure that. I really do. So when Ellen laughs at it, because honestly, I'm a different beast on Saturday nights. In some ways, I'm really laid back and really low-keyed. And and it's, I don't know, it's just like the Lord's preparing you for the next morning. And that's an important time for me. It's a very intimate time. Mm-hmm. And Ellen and I share that together. So she laughs about it, but it's true in that way. I just want to thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the weekend, Friday night was wonderful. We had a blast. Tonight was wonderful. We so enjoyed it. Being able to see you here, I thank you. I'm humbled that so many of you even came out mm-hmm. tonight. And pray for tomorrow morning, would you? I don't want it to be a candidating thing. I want the Lord to meet us here. I want us to leave tomorrow saying, man, I'll tell you, God was good today, wasn't mm-hmm. he? And so we'll pray for that, okay? Are we almost done?
We are.
Can I pray and we'll be dismissed?
And I'll give some grace.
Great.
Okay.
Excellent.
Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this group of people. We believe your hand is on this place. We believe you have plans here that people don't even know about. We believe that you want to enhance and enlarge your kingdom through it. Now we ask your blessing over it. We ask the favor of Jesus to rest on this place. The very protection of the Lord. Lord, may you just post the angels around this place so that the enemy can find no foothold at all.
That's right.
That there would be no negative tension, meandering, Lord, of the enemy at all.
Right.
And we just ask your blessings over tomorrow. Be with Sarah and the worship team. Mm-hmm. Be with all of them as they, as we come, and the children, and we teach, and as we just see your hand at work there. We're just thankful, Lord. We're grateful. Mm-hmm. And so we just ask your blessing over the service and the time tomorrow. And we just give you all the praise and glory. And I promise you this, Lord. I promise you. We will never think for one moment it's for us. But it's all for you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the resurrected Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, y'all.